Hey there. You're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and in this episode, you'll hear from singer and songwriter Eric Burton, who fronts the Austin band Black Pumas. Black Pumas started as a collaboration between Eric and guitarist, producer, and songwriter Adrian Quesada. Adrian's a fixture here in Austin. He's played with Grammy-winning Latin funk band Grupo Fantasma. That band actually backed up Prince for a while, and he still plays with the Grupo's side project, Brownout. He's got a side project called Echocentrics. He does a ton of producing. Like, he has a lot of energy, and lately, he's been putting that energy towards Black Pumas. Eric and Adrian connected in 2017, and they released their first single, Black Moon Rising, in 2018. And all of us here at KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast, were like instant fans. The band makes music that references mid-century funk and R&B and soul in a way that manages to sound completely current. And they've gained a reputation for putting on these electric live shows. Like, Eric Burton commands the stage, y'all. And the band is committed, which is why it was no surprise when they won Best New Band at the Austin Music Awards this year and when Black Moon Rising won Best Song. And they've had all the success even before they released like a full-length record. But lucky for us, they are going to be releasing their debut full-length record this Friday, June 21st, on ATO Records. They have a release party at Antone's, and then a week later, they will set off on tour. And I got to speak to Eric about a month ago. It was a live recording as part of the Independent Schools of the Southwest Arts Festival at St. Stephen's here in Austin. Basically, 4,000 or so high school students from private schools all around Texas got together for a couple of days, and they did performances, and they watched performances, and they attended workshops, and they even attended live podcast tapings like mine. Eric was totally down to get up in front of a group of high school students who were interested in podcasting and talk about music with me, and he did something that no one has done before. He addressed the audience directly, and like, rather than try to cut that out, I decided to keep it because I think it really speaks to the kind of person that Eric is. Like, as you'll hear in the interview, his interest in making music comes from this deep desire to connect with other people. So it makes sense that he would not only acknowledge the audience, but involve them too. He began the interview by telling us all about a song he learned for his very first gig.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Can anyone tell me who sung that song? A show of hand? Anyone know? What's your name? Sophia. Who sang that song? Otis Redding. Have you guys heard of Otis Redding? Otis Redding is one of my favorite singers ever. He's called the grandfather or godfather of soul. He wrote a song maybe a couple of weeks before he died called Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Yes.
Now, have you guys all heard that song? Okay. You guys really haven't heard Sitting on the Dock of the Bay?
Whew. Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? She has.
What's your name? Megan's heard it.
Well, this is interesting because sometimes I'll be like, I can't believe those kids don't know that song. But this song came out in the 60s.
Have you heard it?
Which was like 50 years ago. So that would have been like me knowing music when I was your age in the 80s, that would have been like me knowing music from the 30s.
Yeah.
That would have been weird. Do you ever think about that? Like, yeah.
It does get weird. It can be a weird thing.
Okay.
You got to have cool grandparents who kind of keep you up to date. Otis Redding was so cool back in the day. You'll find out soon enough. Hopefully you can hear the music
by way of phone speakers. Okay, so we're going to play a clip from Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Here we go.
All right.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay.
You know it now, yeah? Okay, who's heard it? Okay, quite a few more now, huh?
So now we know cool. What we're talking about.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
My jam, you guys, that's my jam.
So, Eric, do you remember the first time you heard that song?
I do. I was in high school. getting ready to play my first gig when my audiovisual teacher actually suggested me playing at a place called Memories, which was a restaurant based out of a Victorian-style home, and she suggested me learning some Otis Redding tunes, and that was the first song that I had encountered in my learning of covers, and I just immediately fell in love with Otis Redding's creamy voice, the sound of the ocean in the background. When you hear that song, it almost makes you want to close your eyes, right, and imagine the seagulls kind of flying above your head over the shore, right? It's a beautiful thing.
I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way.
You kind of get the sense that you're hearing like a some words of wisdom from someone who's lived a life, right? You kind of, I think that there's so much sustenance and substance in Otis Redding's lyric writing, and the way that he presents that in his inflections, his diction, the way that he presents himself and the way that he feels was very, it just took me, it swept me off my feet. So that was one thing that really kind of took me away.
Look like nothing's gonna change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, here
you said it was you're getting ready for your first gig when you were 16. So had you played music previous to that at all?
Yeah, I had played music and sang in a church choir. I was actually leading praise and worship service at a Presbyterian church at that time. So I had always, just been around music. My mom was a dancer, my uncle was a musician and songwriter, and I just grew up around music.
But was this your first secular gig that you were playing?
Yeah, it was my first secular gig. I played in a restaurant where people kind of, when you're eating food and you're watching a show, it's kind of a tricky thing, right? It's like you're not really paying attention to the person in the corner who's kind of, to some extent, just kind of the jukebox, So I kind of got a lot of practice with learning and projecting in kind of a situation where people aren't really paying attention but are still enjoying the ambience in the music. So, yeah, it was my first gig.
Those gigs can be like a lesson in like ego containment. You know what I mean? Like where you want to be up in front of people and you want them to be looking at you, but you also understand that like you're creating like a mood. So how much do you like, put your ego out there sometimes?
Totally. I mean, you guys, when you're doing something that you absolutely love, you'll start to find that your passions will continue to grow. And as they do, everything that you do will, your love will kind of fuel you in your pursuit of what you want to do. Once you guys start performing and putting yourselves out there as podcasters and or performers, just musicians in general, you start to realize that when you operate from a place of love, it doesn't matter if someone's giving you something or not, whether that be their attention or their money or their respect, because you love it so much. That's enough. It's enough sustenance for, your drive there. So, yeah, that was how I started.
But did you feel that love from the very beginning?
I did. I was very moved by how when you're in church or you're at a concert and you see people kind of close their eyes and sway to the music, almost like when you're about to have your first kiss with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and you close your eyes and you're just in the moment, that was that feeling, So I became addicted to that feeling and recreating it.
Really?
Yeah.
Even at 16, you kind of like...
It felt like my first kiss over and over and over again, yeah.
That's like the best way to describe what performing can be like.
Sure.
And from 16 on, was it like music,
music,
that's what
music,
I'm going
to
do?
Music. And to be honest, I didn't really want to be a musician, but when I was you guys' age, it was the best thing that I could kind of grapple onto for that self-development. And I'm exceedingly thankful for it, yeah. My main focus was always to write just a great song. So I see myself as a writer first, but a lot of people see me first as a performer, especially when we're on stage together as the Black Pumas. But my intentions and goals were always to write the best song that I could write that would connect with the masses, that being you guys.
So how long have you been writing songs?
I've been writing songs for about, so I got my first guitar when I was 18, and my youngest brother bought me my guitars, 7 years younger, and I've been playing and writing music since I was 18, you know, 2 months before 18, actually. Playing music and having a guitar was something that I was able to use to put myself in a meditative space to create something that I would enjoy to look back on and kind of like notate and kind of document my life, really. Like, do you guys keep a journal or diaries? Anyone keep a diary? So having a guitar at my age at that point was just kind of me. It was like my notebook or my pen, you know, to kind of have a guitar and to document my life with sound was very intriguing to my mind at that point. Yeah.
And so to do that and to it sounds like it was really important not only to process your own emotions, but also to make sure that these songs could connect with other people.
Definitely. Definitely. And you guys, I know that, you know, being young right now, I think that most of us, you know, even when you get older and you are further into adulthood, you guys are young adults, we think a lot about what other people think of us, right? And we allow that to dictate how we live and dictate sometimes what we think about ourselves. That when you are doing something that you love, it's important to do it directly from your heart because it moves you first. And if you can be honest with yourself, then someone's going to be touched by what you guys create as a podcaster, as a musician, as an engineer, as a scientist. Anything that you decide to do, as long as it comes from here first, it's going to touch someone else's heart. So that's how I move.
Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on a dock of a bay, wasting time.
Eric did go on to pursue music and found that he was able to make a living by busking, playing music on the street for money. Now, I knew what busking was, but I didn't know what the origin of the word was.
The Latin word of busking is buscar,
what?
Which means to search, the searcher, right? So the busker is out looking for something, looking to develop themselves in some way. So I was busking in a place called Santa Monica, on the Santa Monica Pier. Has anyone visited the Santa Monica Pier? Show of hands. How many? All right. Have you guys gone all the way to the back at, where you see like the stars on the ground? There's like white stars with numbers on them around the pier. Well, if you remember those, these were places where the musicians would set up and busk alongside the rail, in front of the backdrop of the ocean. So I'd see people propose to their husbands or their you know, now wives on the pier, and that was always a really cool thing. But I did start there.
Would you play Sitting on the Dock of the Bay when you were out there
I
on
would
the Santa
totally
Monica
play
Pier?
I would play Sitting on the Dock of the Bay 3 times in a row. That's how much I enjoy that song. Thankfully, they didn't get too tired of it. I think that the traffic at the Santa Monica Pier was just so interchanging, right? It would, you know, turn over so much that it didn't matter how many times you played a song, in a single set. So I'd play that song quite a bit, actually.
So what brought you from Southern California to Austin, where you are now?
Well, I think that as a busker on the Santa Monica Pier, when you're somewhere on the beach, you guys have been to the beach, right? It's all the feeling and the vibe is always like this no worries, sunshine kind of energy. Am I right? So when you're there, and you're there for an extended period of time, you kind of get used to that energy and that perfect weather that we wanted to change, and we wanted to push ourselves and not be so complacent in our pursuit of being professional musicians. So we went on a busking tour, which is playing music on the street for money and such, up the West Coast all the way to Seattle, Washington, back down through some of the state parks to New Mexico, to Austin, Texas. And my two friends that I played with now live in, or they went to England, but they now live between New York and California, where they still play music and work with professional artists at this point.
Did you stay in Austin and they continued the busking tour?
Yes, ma'am. You got it.
So what was it about Austin that made you want to stay here?
Well, I think that the reciprocation of, gratitude and just Austin's receptiveness to the artist, I just really enjoyed that, and it made me feel at home. So I decided to stay in the warmth of this place and the beautiful people thereof, and I'm glad that I did, because you guys have cultivated me into something a little bit more evolved than what I was. So. Yeah.
After Eric moved to Austin, he connected with Adrian Quesada.
A mutual friend of Adrian and mine, who's also a producer, he was kind of helping me produce a sound of my own from my house, because I was building a studio of my own. And he helped me record a song. And at the time that Adrian was looking for someone to put some music down on some of the songs that he started, that is now the Black Pumas project, our friend shared some of my music with Adrian. Adrian reached out and we connected.
Was it like an immediate understanding and knowing that this was a good thing?
I felt like it. I mean, I'm such a huge... See, when you guys really love something and you get with someone who's on the same wavelength of that love, pretty much anything that they show you will inspire you. So anything that Adrian had, I could really hear some of my background in his music, because he really enjoyed rappers like Ghostface Killah was one of his inspirations, and some old school like Otis Redding and some Motown musicians and songs that he was inspired by and kind of curated the sound around, that I just naturally connected to, because it's pretty much an immediate reflection of my culture.
Like I said earlier, Black Pumas put on a really incredible show. So, like, I saw them for the first time during South by Southwest this year, and I thought I was prepared because I'd been, like, listening to their music for a while, but I was not prepared, y'all. Eric is a force on stage. He is a force for good, like a force that wants you to dance. And the venue I saw him in, it's this huge room in the convention center, like so huge that even if 500 people show up, it still looks like there's hardly anyone in there huge. And it's filled with conference attendees. The public is not allowed in, so it's mostly industry people. And the show is in the middle of the day. And there is an open space in front of the stage for dancing, but there's also like lots of chairs. And all of these conditions are like the opposite of what you want if you want an involved audience. But Eric, he got people involved. Like, to me, it seemed like he had a mission. And that mission was to show the audience that they could let their guards down and have a good time. And they did. Industry people who usually just stood with their arms crossed, they danced. It was incredible. And I wondered, like, is that really his mission, to reach people in that way?
I think that when we take to performing and creating something for, you know, and to present to other people, I think that the trick is to be able to be completely naked, to be completely vulnerable, in such a way that people will still understand your message, right? So I think that when we, as we curate the live performance based on the songs, I try to get to a place where I'm completely honest with the audience while still creating a bridge for you guys to understand the lyrics and understand, you know, the message that I'm trying to put across.
But it sounds like it's kind of the same as songwriting. Like, it's about being as honest and as vulnerable as possible.
Totally.
Like when you're writing, and then it's about as being honest and vulnerable when you're performing. And it also, like, I just had this thought that it's the thing that you connected with was sitting on the dock of the bay.
Totally.
Was that, like, vulnerability, that the feeling that you really felt when you listened to that song.
Yeah. I think that when you listen to Otis Redding sitting on the dock of the bay, you kind of get this... He makes you feel like it's okay to have ups and downs, right? We all go through different things, and, you know, to get from point A to point B, it's not always a smooth road. So when I hear Otis Redding, he reminds me to, you know, continue to allow the process of life on your soul, on your mind, and your just physical nature to be just an enjoyable experience.
I woke up to the morning sky first. Baby blue, just like we rehearsed. When I get up off this ground, I shake leaves back down to the brown, 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 till I'm clean.
And this is Colors from Black Puma's self-titled debut, which comes out this Friday, June 21st. Like I said earlier, Black Pumas will celebrate the release of their record at Antone's in Austin this Friday, and then about a week later, they'll head out on the road. You can find a link to their tour dates on the show notes page for this episode, as well as a link to their new record. And I actually spoke to Adrian Quesada back in 2016, and you can find a link to that interview on the show notes page as well. And as always, you'll find a Spotify playlist on the show notes page where you can hear all the songs we referenced in this episode. All the way through. And just so you know, this song is going to be taking a summer break. We're working on some exciting new podcast things here at KUTX. You can stay tuned for more information on those. And next week will be our last episode for a while. But don't worry, we have a ton of archived episodes for you to listen to. You can find them on KUTX.org or iTunes or Spotify or NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you dig this podcast, then please leave a rating or review. It really helps people find us, and it makes everyone who works on this podcast feel really good. So thanks in advance. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McLean. Thanks to our intern, Claire Hardwick, for her help with this podcast. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Truth. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.